Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
What do you say, Senor Sassy?
Sassy!
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Totes McGroats is on the show. We like to talk Bears. Then why? Because he covers the Bears and does a wonderful job for us here on The Score and the Spiegel and Holmes show. By the way, Dave Wannstedt will join us at 5 o'clock. He will be here in studio. Groats, for people who don't know, I was wondering if you could kind of whiteboard this, because you've been through a couple of administrations now up at Hallis Hall. How often we have seen Ryan Poles speak on the record more than his predecessor?
It's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, with his predecessor, Ryan of the Paces, as opposed to Ryan of the Poleses, Ryan Pace was actively hiding most of the time, it felt like. If he was caught in the hallways or something, it felt like he would dip behind something. He just didn't want any part of it. And quite frankly, even when he did speak, Lawrence, he did not add a whole lot. And he was very protective, to the point where you just weren't really getting anything out of Ryan Pace. Now, when Poles took over, I think the media as a collective, we saw it as an opportunity to get that right, because it was so ridiculous and so foolish with his predecessor that I was like, hey, can we be a little more human here? Can we hear from the GM a little bit more? And Ryan Poles was game for that. And I think symbolic of it was, do you guys, of course you remember the day that Roquan Smith went off on the Bears with that long letter, but talking about the history of the Bears. And, you know, that was his move in the negotiating ploy, where he was trying to make fools of the Bears. And maybe, you know, whatever, maybe Roquan Smith had a point with all of that, you know, but he was really putting the dagger in the Bears. And I remember that day, Ryan Poles was not scheduled to speak. Somebody who represents the media for the Bears, one of our colleagues, said, hey, can Ryan Poles speak today? This is a pretty big news. Mm-hmm. And he said yes. And there have been many occasions like that. So it's not just them rolling Ryan Poles out when, you know, on times that he is expected to be available. It's occasionally us requesting Ryan Poles, and Poles, more times than not, I would say 80 to 90% of the time when we request him and we don't do it willy-nilly, Ryan Poles is here and he gives real answers. And also another thing too, you know, they will talk, like Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus for that matter, they'll talk to you. They'll talk to you a little bit. And they're not going to tell you everything. They're not going to get in. They're not going to let you put that information out there. But they will educate us so we are informed as beat reporters of what's going on. So I can speak intelligence. So a lot of what I say about the Bears, like it's from a place of actual intelligence from both Ryan Poles and quite frankly, the head coach, Matt Eberflus, as well.
Yeah, no, it's good that you shared that because we know that there are some things that you've been able to speak on that you do know from conversations that actually happen. It strikes me, guys, that so often we talk about organizations being rotten from the top down, because culture does come from the top often in terms of the way that it's built and the way that it's filled and the way that it's allowed to fester. Poles will talk, and he'll talk to people, and not just the press, he'll talk to everybody, and we are coming off a two-week period where the players talk to the coordinators, and Poles yesterday was celebrating that exact thing. And it's like, so why, you know, a little harder to prove when things are going well, but culture coming from the top on down seems to resonate right now at this team.
You can't talk about open communication, and the previous regime did it as well.
They talked about it, but they didn't do it, man.
Exactly.
How many times, Groats, we've been talking about collaboration, but they clearly weren't collaborating. It was all just BS, word speak, and this is not a guy who does it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it became a joke, and it's better for everybody. Like I said, with the stuff that they will occasionally tell us and that we have to be as creative as possible in disseminating that information, it helps us to, A, not look dumb and give the right answers, and it helps them, too, because oftentimes there are misunderstandings in the public at large and things that they're not just going to come out and say, but they're like, hey, this stuff that's going on, it's a bunch of BS. Well, I'll tell you what's going on. I can't let you guys just say it directly, but be as creative as possible. And I'm not saying that this happens once a week, but every once in a while, like if I'm to reach out or if another reporter's to reach out, we'll get information and they'll say, yeah, you could say this, but don't say that. And that's what I try to do when I get in this. It makes my job easier because, again, I can speak intelligently. And you know this, Speaks, from times that I've told you, mm-hmm. I've sent you a text. I'll be like, hey, what I'm about to say here is speaking from a place of authority and exact information. So,
right. So, and now is when I out you for that. Now is when I tell everybody exactly what that has always been about.
Don't do it. Don't do it, man.
Okay.
Or else I will never come on again.
All right.
No one was listening during that portion, so we're covered. We're covered. We got it. So look, the we haven't delved into any of the conversation from the coordinators from today. What did you think was interesting?
Yeah, let me start with Shane Waldron. And here you're starting to hear the murmurs. There's like this slow crescendo of, where's Keenan Allen? Why is he not getting the football as much? He did 3 catches for 33 yards last week. And, you know, what is happening? Is he okay with everything? Because, you know, again, that this I can tell you too, because this is on public record, Speaks. Yeah, they, after the win over Carolina, the very celebrated win at Soldier Field, a pack of reporters, as we always do, we're hanging outside the locker room to get in after the cooling down period. And, you know, you'll see players that are injured leave, like we saw Tevin Jenkins leave, and that's fine. But Keenan Allen also zipped out of there. So it was kind of like, huh, we're not going to get to talk to Keenan Allen today. And as far as I know, he is healthy, but it made me wonder and other reporters wonder, is he mad? Something going on here? Is he okay? So that question was taken to Shane Waldron today.
Yeah, no, I think he's done an excellent job knowing that, hey, the ball hasn't found him on a couple plays, even last week where there's a couple where he's the primary, the coverage plays out a little bit different, and, you know, Cole's a beneficiary of a big explosive play on one of them. But obviously we want to get Keenan involved more. It's a goal of ours, but there's also going to be the structure of the defense and, you know, what they might take away that week. And I think, you know, each week the guys have done a good job knowing that we have multiple guys that have worked hard and deserve to get the rock right there. And we know Rome had a big game one time. You know, know, Cole has a big game. DJ has one. Swift's had a couple. So knowing that, you know, Keenan's a big part of our offense and wanting to get him involved. And again, it's that fine line of pressing to get him involved, but also knowing that he's going to do a good job like he always does of doing things right, showing up every single day and working to get on the same page, which he's done a great job with, and then leading to the results on the field.
Hey, wide receivers, man. Welcome to it. Manage these humans, Shane. Good luck.
It's not just wide receivers, though, because DeAndre Swift was upset, too, yeah, on how he was being used. What I think is interesting, and Groach, you're there every day. It's interesting to me that this group of guys knew that they had a really good group of guys, which might mean that you're going to get the ball less. And now it seems like the reality is set in of, oh, wait, we do have other guys that can get stuff done. And I feel like I'm watching every one of these guys kind of go through their own thing of where they fit and how to make this work.
And they all go about it in their own way. And it's something that I think they will get used to, but they have to. This is their own adjustment. To your point about DeAndre Swift, one of my colleagues leading up to the game against Carolina went up to him. And, you know, usually these guys, they comply, they talk. There's not a lot of guys that say no. And DeAndre Swift politely said, no, I would not like to talk today. And he's a very quiet guy to begin with, so I don't want to read too much into it. But he wasn't interested, you know, and I think because he's tired of being asked the same questions of, hey, man, what's going on? Where are you? When's it going to happen? So, yeah, I mean, all these guys, and, you know, DJ Moore, like maybe we're good to go with DJ Moore. That's why I began with Keenan Allen, because it's like, okay, we got DJ Moore taken care of.
Sure.
Now what about Keenan Allen, right,
yeah,
Speaks?
Right, but when you have been taken care of and you're still chatty and even more chatty, when you're ebullient and you're basically like smiling and gliding your way into the press conference, that tells its own story, doesn't it? It's and so him sharing the bossy stuff and Caleb calling him sassy and us going to sassy magazine profiles to bring you in, it's a delight. Rightfully a relatable human part of the dynamic we're getting a chance to hang out with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, how about Cole Kmet? Now, he did it with a smile, too, when everybody's like, where's Cole Komet's targets early in the season? Like, is Cole Kmet on this team? And, you know, he was just as mature about it as any of them. His way of doing it was sort of, I'm the captain or one of the captains, and I understand and I get it because that's the Cole Kmet way. But, you know, at some point in time, now that I'm thinking about it, each and every one of these weapons has been asked, where are you? Gerald Everett, where are you? You know, like last week we found Gerald Everett. Last week we found DJ Moore. But Keenan Allen has not been found. Roma Dunze was found a couple of weeks ago. So maybe the way things are going, maybe Keenan Allen will be found this week.
Groats, how do you feel like Caleb is handling that?
In terms of like trying to get the ball spread out to all these different guys?
Understanding that the guys have, I mean, look, everyone's in a different situation. DJ's got a contract extension, right?
Yeah.
Cole has a contract extension. DeAndre Swift and Keenan Allen are guys that are playing for their next contracts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I feel like so far he's navigated it really well.
I do think he's navigated it well. And I mean, last week he got the ball to a ton of guys, including Keenan Allen. Like, he was spreading the ball around. And I think that this is something that he knew would be real coming into this season, having all of those guys and those egos. And it's not a dirty word to say that guys have egos. You want them to have egos. And I think that, like, again, and I know I made a big deal about this yesterday, but, you know, since the Colts game, the communication has opened up. And I'm sure Caleb, part of that has been Caleb Williams saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to get you guys the ball. Don't worry about it. This is going to happen. And since the Colts game, they have been able to spread the ball around more. So it's not necessarily a ton of quantity for each individual. But if these guys continue to see it work and the Bears win, they won't question the why.
So what did Shane Waldron make of the bossy and the sassy?
Yeah, yeah, he did. We had to weigh in on Waldron with all that, the boss talk, DJ, Caleb, everything we're discussing here. Here's Shane Waldron on that.
I think Caleb's done a great job with his communication, started in the offseason when he was able to build some connections with guys. And I think, you know, part of the quarterback's job is to be that leader on the field and make sure everybody is on the same page. So you've seen him continue to grow. If a route's, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's a two-way street asking what a receiver saw or what he saw. And it's all about getting on the same page at the end of the day. So I think he's done an excellent job with that. You know, all the different looks that might present themselves. He's been able to communicate that with DJ, with Keenan, you know, Cole, all of our guys right there, so that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be the kind of good problem that you dream of. And, I mean, we asked Kurt Warner what he did when he had to worry about Larry Fitzgerald and who was Anquan Boldin. And oh,
you've
by
already
the way,
forgot the other guy.
Steve Breston, I remembered. I'll never forget Steve Breston the rest of my life.
Was he number 15?
No idea. But the name I'll never forget now. Anquan Boldin was the one I struggled with for a minute. But he said Larry was fine with it as long as he was getting enough. He was fine with Steve Breston getting his. We dream of these issues, Groats.
Yeah, and
yes,
winning. Too.
He was.
Hey, it's like, let's test your – these guys all say they want to win, right? Like, okay, here's how you win. You might get the ball four times, but yeah, you're going to win.
Check your ego at the door, baby.
That's right. That's right. Next Shane Waldron cut I have here. Yeah, I'm sure you guys saw the injury report today and maybe have talked about it, but Tevin Jenkins did miss the practice today because of the ankle officially. I still wonder about the rib and is that bruised down? Is that pain gone? So it could – potentially be Bill Murray starting again or starting period at the left guard. And so it's time to ask Shane Waldron about Bill Murray.
Yeah, I think just being on the left side right there and knowing where our rotation ended up, and we have a lot of trust in a lot of guys and different things are going to play out, you know, injury-wise, which I think was a good thing from training camp, OTAs moving forward, and Bill is someone that's worked hard and the results have paid off right there. So when the scenario played out where he needed to go in at left guard, we were able to, you know, pick up right where we left off, unfortunately for Tevin being out right there, but Bill's able to go in there. We're still able to operate our offense, and again, he's just done such a good job from the first day he's been around, you know, with his effort, his toughness, but then now it's also led to his technique and his style of play showing up in a game.
How good would offensive lineman Bill Murray have to be to measure up to comedy legend Bill Murray in this town? I mean, he's already got...
It's not possible.
He's already got the mustache, though. He's got a great mustache. He's on the Bears. The other Bill Murray was never on the Bears.
But he has the most famous Bears gif ever.
Yeah, he does.
Bill Murray putting on the bear down cap. So there's really nothing that offensive lineman Bill Murray can do.
It's too bad.
Yeah, and I will tell you this just from the like short conversations with him over the last couple of years. He doesn't seem hilarious. Like I mean I can't expect everybody
and
well, to
be
hilarious.
And you're a good judgment. Well, you've done stand up. You know funny when you see funny.
He pivoted.
I'd like to think so.
Bill Murray pivoted to doing drama and more serious roles. He wanted to try and get an Oscar nomination. That's understandable.
Well, how about this? I'll tell you.
Oh,
this.
You mean the Bears Bill Murray is not funny.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just not hilarious.
Well, I mean, the other Bill Murray hasn't been trying to be funny in a really long time.
That's what I'm saying. Every once in a while when he does show up in a comedy, it's a revelation.
Yeah.
It's like, take me seriously. I'm a serious actor. Uh-huh. No, but the one thing, though, that I did find out, I did ask Tevin Jenkins. I don't know why I asked him this, but I don't know why I asked Tevin Jenkins a lot of the things that I asked him. I said, who's the smartest guy in this locker room? I think this was training camp when there's like 100 guys there. Thought about it for a second. Said Bill Murray.
Wow.
So he may not be hilarious, but apparently Bill Murray is one of the smartest guys in that locker room.
I'm worried about Tevin in the long term, man. This is not how you get re-signed is to have another couple different injuries that show up and have the team play pretty well in your absence. This is not how it's supposed to work.
Glad you brought that up because the now that I think about it, Tevin told us earlier this year, I think it was before the season started, that they were going to go discuss the potential extension or not during the bye week. So we'll find out from Tevin Jenkins maybe in the next couple of weeks if he feels like he might be back with the Bears on a 3-year or 4-year contract or whatever the Bears might be interested in giving him or not giving him.
I wonder now, you would know better. Do you think their feelings about him have changed from when they walked in the door?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, part of it too, Lawrence, is he's not their guy. They did not draft him, but they are the ones that decided he was a guard. You think Ryan Pace would have done that? I don't think so. I mean, that he wanted him to be a tackle.
He certainly wouldn't have talked about it if he did do it.
No, you're right. And we would not have been able to find him. Uh-huh. He was supposed. Remember, Charles Leno Jr. He's expendable because we're bringing in this kid. Tevin Jenkins. So I think that there's some pride from Ryan Poles and the Bears for discovering that Tevin Jenkins is better suited to be a guard. Not only that, but last year I don't know that he would. You know, I don't think he got snubbed. Even though I think Tevin thought he got snubbed. You know, he's flirting with Pro Bowl status. Like, he's up there with some of those guards. So that's a great question, because it's conflicting. They're not his guy, but they made him into the player that he is. And it was ugly. It was ugly getting there. There was some ugly stuff between both sides for a second, but Jenkins sort of accepted it. And like, even from the beginning of this year and even last year, about the middle of the season, he was like, I am totally comfortable at guard and I have no desire to go back to tackle. And that is not something you typically hear out of guys that play tackle in college.
Wow. Well, the reason that I ask is that I wonder if now, instead of him getting a big deal, maybe they can go, look, man, you know what it's been with your injury history. We want you here, but we have to protect ourselves. I wonder if he would be okay with that. You know what I mean? Like, instead of saying, I'm going to go out and get big money on the open market, which might not be out there, and maybe he wants to be a part of whatever this thing is going to be. I don't know. You know Tevin a lot better than almost anyone who covers the team. So it's just something I was thinking about, considering what his situation is.
I know he likes Chicago a lot, like genuinely, and he is comfortable here and, you know, has a young family here as well. So I don't think he is desirous of leaving here, because I have asked him that question, like, do you like Chicago and it's okay to say no? And he has said yes. And we do know that there are guys in the past, Alshon Jeffrey, who just didn't like the city, who didn't like this being here or being part of the Bears organization. You know, unless Tevin is pulling a fast one on me and everybody else, I do think he wants to be here. However, yeah, I mean, look, as any NFL player will do, they're going to go where the money is. But, you know, I imagine that other GMs around the league are going to look at him similarly and look at the track record and look at these injuries right now that are popping up for Tevin Jenkins.
Groats, tell us about Eric Washington. I really love listening to this dude speak. He's authoritative and smart and pretty kind of a good wordsmith, by the way, in talking about his guys.
Yeah, he's one of the best talkers the Bears have, I think, right now, as far as the coaches are concerned. Maybe the best in terms of the important coaches on the staff. And one of the things that intrigued me today and has intrigued me about the Bears since, quite frankly, since the OTAs and in training camp when we were seeing it, is creative blitzing and more blitzing this year. We have seen Kyler Gordon last week got in on a sack. Brisker destroyed somebody earlier this year with a sack. Jack Sanborn, Tremaine Edmonds has been dialed up. Now, I was looking at some of the numbers, and the Bears their blitz rate is about 22.1%. That's not very high. There's a lot of teams ahead of them, but they have been effective with their blitzing. And here is Eric Washington on why.
We're excited about the production that we've gotten from it. And our foundation, Brad, is rush and cover, starting with our four-man rush. We'd like the pressure to complement that. We don't want to live in that scenario, but we definitely want that to complement what we'd like to do with our front and coverage. And, you know, it's just a matter of speed, of timing, of making sure that we can affect the game without having to deploy a fifth guy. And when we do, we need that person to be an enormous factor. And they have so far.
So that fifth guy, they're always adding it from somewhere else.
Exactly.
It's easy to do that math and to watch it happen in real time. Whenever you see that blitzer, it's almost always. And they're trying to just time it well and have it come from a creative spot. That fifth guy is the only one they want to send as an extra blitzer.
Right, and we know the chaos that can ensue when guys don't get home, because obviously that leaves somebody open. But they have been, I don't have the exact numbers here in front of me right now, but they have been pretty effective with some of those creative blitzes. And it's made a difference. Like last year, the Bears had 30 sacks altogether, already 14 this year. And we talked about it all the time last year. Where's the QB set? And then Montez Sweat comes, things get better. But they knew, because, you know, we've constantly talked, who's going to get to the quarterback opposite of Montez Sweat? And they said it's going to come from inside the defensive line, Jervon Dexter, and then whomever else, like anybody else that wants to get to the quarterback, that, you know, DeMarcus Walker and Austin Booker has a sack this year.
Andrew Billings has gotten there a couple times.
Oh, Big Bill as well, which brings me to Big Bill perfectly, Spiegel. And, you know, I talked about this yesterday. Andrew Billings was kind of a nobody in the NFL for a couple of years, kind of trying to find his footing with stops in Cleveland and Vegas. And all of a sudden, he is very comfortable in this version of the 4-3. And Billings has said that he is super comfortable in it. And Eric Washington was asked, why would he be so comfortable in this defense?
He has the requisite quickness. I mean, he's a big man. He's a powerful man, and we need him to anchor the point of attack, especially versus mid-zone schemes. But at the same time, he has some quickness and he has some range about him. And so we ask our nose tackles to cover from their alignment to the sideline. We ask them to collapse the pocket. We ask them to help us to create population at the point of attack versus screen plays. And he can do all of those things. And he takes pride in his versatility, his overall skill set, not just being a first and second down player, but being able to impact the game on all three downs.
I know you love Big Bill, Lawrence. I love create population at the point of attack. That's that phrase by Eric Washington, man. Because Big Bill is creating population just by himself every once in a while.
I mean, I love the fact that you get production from it, because that's usually the guy, and it still will be. I mean, let's face it. Billings is going to be the guy that's eating blockers up. He is not going to flatten every quarterback.
That's how he got so big.
That's the legend of Big Bill. Big Bill.
Carving up blockers.
Big Bill.
I got a little something for Shane, man. I feel like I have let Shane down the last few weeks with a lack of Richard Hightower.
Yeah, he's mentioned it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's my bad. I've been hanging my head a lot about this. But one thing that that has been realized in the trips overseas and my last stop in London in 2019 is that, oh, they love the kicking game, man. They love it because they love good old-fashioned football, as they call it there, and kicking the ball. So Richard Hightower and special teams, he's going to be a popular man. Here's Richard.
All right, here's Richard Hightower, H-Mac.
I'm excited, and our specialists are excited, because I've been told that people really love specialists here, so and can appreciate their skill set. So we're extremely excited to go out and perform in this environment.
We found a market that likes my players. We found a market that cares about my kickers. He's so happy.
You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about, Lawrence, you'll love this, Return of the Jedi, when C-3PO was made into a king by the Ewoks and, like, inexplicably carrying him around. I think Richard Hightower will be carried around by the townsfolk.
The kicker coach is wonderful.
He's finally found a place where he can be king. Groats, thanks as always, man. We appreciate it.
Later, boys.
That's Mark Grody. When we come back, we need to talk about something that hasn't been a feather in the cap of one Ryan Poles, and that is the free agent signing of Nate Davis. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
That's not a promo. I don't know what is.
I thought Nate Davis was coming back on the field again. Maybe they don't want to keep moving Pryor, right? So they got to move Pryor back to left guard if Nate Davis comes back on the field. So Murray comes in and plays, which leads you to believe that Nate Davis is really he may be close to not getting a jersey on game day, right? Which is disappointing.
What's up with that?
What is?
What's up with that?
Ooh-wee. What is up with that?
What's up with that? What's up with that?
Guys got the sixth biggest cap hit on the team. Can't seem to find the field. First for Matt Pryor, now for Bill Murray, too. They'd rather play those two guys than Nate Davis. Other than Chase Claypool, it looms as the biggest Ryan Poles mistake in recent memory.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you start to look at what the Bears need and kind of where they're at right now as a team, and you're like, man, if he would have hit on that move, how great does it look? Like, really, like, forward-looking. Like, we went and got this B.A. mofo at guard to play here.
A road grader, a Derrick Henry blocker. He was supposed to be, like, a beast in the run game, Nate Davis.
And it's weird to... And I brought this up before. I'm very pro-player. And I, after years of covering NFL teams, after doing shows with NFL players, I am reluctant to say, man, there's a guy that doesn't look like he wants to play. Because looks can be deceiving, and football's a really rough game. since Jonathan Quinn, I have never felt I've never felt authorized to say that about a player until Nate Davis.
It's a dog, man.
And I'm trying really hard to give him all of the outs. Like, hey, tons of guys don't like training camp. But this version of training camp isn't even that difficult.
Well, and last year it was a tough one because we found out later his mom passed.
Of course.
I mean, it's brutal.
So you don't like you.
There was a hug from Matt Eberflus that changed our perception and changed the conversation, rightfully so.
But now it seems like organizationally they have taken that hug back.
Yeah, the hug is not there anymore. It's turned into a Robert Saleh, Aaron Rodgers hugging situation, it seems. Ryan Poles talked about it today, yes?
Yes, he did. Here's what he said. It's very short, but here's what he said about Nate Davis.
Yeah, we've been really, you know, vocal about that with him and openly just the dependability, availability is important, consistency is important. So we're working on that and continue to have that dialogue and, you know, look for him to continue to improve in whatever role that is.
whatever role that is.
Seem like a ringing endorsement
Definitely. We've been vocal about that. Availability is important. Continue to work with him on whatever role that is. Yeah, backup is the role. Backup
and
guard.
And backup to the backup a little bit.
Fourth string now. He's your fourth string guard.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, Texter, when I mentioned Jonathan Quinn, it wasn't because he didn't want to play necessarily. It's because he was terrified. And he should have been. He shouldn't have been playing. The plan was never for him to play. And I had never seen fear like I saw when Jonathan Quinn got his opportunity to play quarterback for the Bears.
Who was the quarterback who was, he looked like a wooden Pinocchio doll when he got the chance to play against Carolina, that god-awful game against the Panthers. It was like a...
Todd Collins.
Yes, Todd Collins.
Yeah.
Todd Collins.
That's the Matt Forte game.
Yeah, Todd Collins looked like he was made of wood. And there were, like, his joints needed to be oiled.
I got to show you a video. I have it on my Instagram, buried in my Instagram, of Matt Forte talking about that when we did a promotional shoot for NBC Sports Chicago. Like, we asked him about the Todd Collins game, and he just started laughing. And then he did this impersonation of Todd Collins where basically he's like throws the ball and ducks because that's what it was with Todd Collins.
Yeah, Todd Collins was not good that day.
No, but
thankfully Jimmy Clausen was worse. I believe he was on the other side of the field.
So Caleb Haney ended up finishing that game, right?
Yeah, that's a 23-6 win. I forgot they scored 23 points.
Yeah, that Matt Forte was incredible in that game.
It made you think, like, maybe we don't actually need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe just find another running back up out there and they'll be all right.
Todd Collins was 6 of 16 for 32 yards and threw 4 interceptions.
Is that good?
His quarterback rating that day was 6.3.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Those were dark days.
They beat him handily.
23-6.
And they beat him handily. Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah, Forte at 22 for $166.
He was incredible. I think that was one of those days where Matt made defenders run into each other. There's like the Tampa game and the Carolina game where he made guys run into each other. He was so good.
That's like Blutarski's grade point average, essentially. A 6.3 quarterback rating.
It's really hard to do, but he found a way to do it. When we come back,
let's do
the return of categories.
Bam!
Next here on The Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
Are we going to bring that back? Right?
The game is called Categories. We take the items that have been discussed and thought about during the course of the week, and we turn them into categories. There are three of them, two from the sports universe, one from the pop culture universe, almost always. And this week, I am the host. Shane Tanney and Lawrence Holmes play on the all-new Spiegel and Holmes show.
So how does this go? Because I've never played categories.
So I throw out the category, and you will go first, and you have to name someone who is in that category. If you are correct, it goes to Tanney, then it goes to Shane, and around we go. When you get one wrong, wrong. If you do, you are out, and it keeps going until eventually Shane wins, which seems to be the way our lives
have
gone.
It's going to be a problem for us, Shane. Lawrence is actually smart and stuff, and he knows about sports.
I'm not good at this type of stuff,
and
though.
And he's not like on Twitter all day, you know?
So. Lawrence, I'm with you. When I play, I'm always terrible because the pressure amps up.
Yeah.
It's live.
I get my news on Twitter. I'm on Twitter because I get my news there.
It's been a while. First in like 3 days, I think. Good job, everybody. All right, the first category involves the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
They haven't been around that long, so the category needs to stretch two categories. I am looking at a complete list of every head coach and every quarterback that has started double-digit games. There are 8 quarterbacks who have started double-digit games for the Jaguars, and there have been 9 head coaches in the history of the Jaguars. So, quarterback or head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lawrence, you're first.
Trevor Lawrence.
Is correct. Tanny.
Doug Peterson.
Is correct.
Mark Brunell.
Is the first quarterback on the list has started the most games for the Jaguars. Yes.
David Garrard.
David Garrard has started a lot of games for the Jaguars. Tanny.
Oh, I was Tom Coughlin the coach?
Big time. Tom Coughlin, the dominant head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I might be out. John Gruden?
Was never the head coach.
I don't know why I had that in my head for a second.
The Jaguars. No, he was not.
Shane Adam McKay.
He was the running backs coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good guess, though.
Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles is, of course, correct. Tanny, it's you and Lawrence in a Jaguars face-off.
Jack Del Rio.
Jack Del Rio is correct as a coach. Coach or quarterback who started double-digit games for the Jaguars. Lawrence.
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer, correct. Tanny. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
I'm trying to remember who won the playoff game for them. Did Rodney Peete line up under center for the Jaguars at some point? late stage Rodney Peete. By the way, you got to get checked out if you got late stage Rodney Peete.
Only if it's there for more than 4 hours.
No.
He did not start double-digit games.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
Yeah, I know who you're thinking of. One more, Lawrence, to knock down the category.
Ooh, I'm stuck.
Really?
Oh, come on.
Wait.
Anybody. Head coach. Quarterback.
Byron Leftwich.
That's who Teddy's thinking of, I believe. Yeah. Byron Leftwich is correct. Also would have accepted Gardner Minshew, Chad Henne, or Blaine Gabbert. The coaches, I got to tell you, Mike Mularkey, Gus Bradley, Doug Marrone, Daryl Bevel, Mel Tucker, an interim coach.
That's true.
Which I did not remember.
I think before he went to Michigan State.
MLB postseason is killing all around us. We're not in it. Which players are hitting? Dave Wanstead in 10 minutes, by the way, on the score. Here are all the players who have at least 5 hits in Major League Baseball's postseason so far. There are 22 of them. Tanny, you're first. I need a player who has 5 hits in this postseason.
Every time I look up, he's hitting a home run, so... Fernando Tatis.
And Fernando Tatis is second with 11 hits.
Ooh, it's a lot
Shane.
Of hits. Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton does not have 5 hits in this postseason.
Francisco Lindor.
Francisco Lindor has 7 hits in this postseason. Tanny.
Shohei Ohtani.
Does not have 5 hits. In this postseason.
My personal opinion, stupid category.
Really? What?
Well, it's the thing about this is, like,
Nicholas Castellanos.
Just because I'm out on the first one. It's a good category regardless.
It's tough because I've been, watching. Yeah, Lawrence won, by the way.
All right, should I have done homers for you?
No, but I've been watching a little bit here, watched a little bit there, so it's tough to tell, like, who's really getting it done.
It's a good category. I just don't get the first one wrong ever.
Yeah, it's just like no one cares about it.
Yeah, it's just it's baseball. Like, it's football season.
Nicholas Castellanos is correct. Michael Massey, friend of the show. Pete Alonso.
What about Bobby Witt?
Luis Arraez. Bobby Witt does not have 5 hits.
See, all the stars.
What about Torkelson?
Spencer Torkelson does not have 5 hits.
I couldn't name anyone else on the Tigers, by the way.
Jerickson Profar?
Jerickson Profar would have been correct.
Damn.
Right. Yes. Sorry.
Wani says Jim Leland.
He's wrong, but thank you.
Go Tigers.
All right.
Thanks, guys, for throwing those two categories for me. I appreciate
Lawrence,
you making me feel comfortable.
Lawrence
it's in his contract,
two.
Folks. Yep. We have to do it.
It's true.
Don't believe it.
Third category. We've been talking about jolly old England, and we can now talk music on this show with some knowledge from everybody involved. I'm looking at a list of the biggest selling artists in the history of Great Britain. Who has sold the most records in the history of Great Britain? I have the top 41 here. Everybody who has sold 50 million records or more in the history of England. Shame.
David Bowie.
David Bowie, more than 200 million records, correct. Lawrence.
The Beatles.
400 million records for the Beatles is a lot. That's number one. Tanny.
Stones.
The Rolling Stones, more than 200 million records. Shane.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, absolutely, as a solo artist, more than 100 million records.
The Spice Girls.
The Spice Girls, more than 50 million on the list. Tanny.
They've got two records, but they are in the news. Oasis, did they sell enough?
The answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oasis, 50 million records
anybody
or more.
Anybody fancy some lasagna?
Coldplay.
Coldplay is correct. More than 100 million records for Coldplay. Lawrence.
You too.
I'm so sorry.
Damn it!
They're not British. They're Irish.
That's right, they're Irish.
They're Irish. Technicality, perhaps. But
no,
you've already won.
No, not technicality. It's so another country altogether. A lot of wars. Lot of
wait, but hold on. Does it matter the nationality of the band or where they sold the most records?
That's what I was thinking. Where they sold the most records.
British. My next guess is...
No. British artists. Biggest selling British artists of all time. Not artists in Britain.
That's on me. I was thinking that it was selling there. That's why I said U2.
There are no Americans on this list. Tanny.
Damn it.
Oh, my God.
Looking for a British artist.
Yeah.
So many of them.
The Kinks?
Oh, the Kinks is a great guess, and they should be here, but the Kinks are not here. Shane.
Did we say The Who already?
We did not say The Who, and they sold more than 100 million records. Shane wins a category. I would have accepted Elton John, Led Zeppelin, The Bee Gees, Queen, Pink Floyd, Ed Sheeran, Adele. The Police, Duran Duran, and many, many more.
Welcome to the game, Lawrence.
Congratulations.
Good debut.
On your first win. Damn
it.
I knew you could do it.
Oh, that's going to haunt me. I like to win.
Right. Well, you did win. You did win. You took two out of three.
No.
Took two out of three.
That doesn't
count.
Don't
be so hard on yourself.
That doesn't count.
It's not your fault. Lawrence, it's not your fault.
Don't do this to me, man.
No, Lawrence, I'm telling you.
Don't do this to me, man.
It's not your fault.
Dave Wannstedt is here. He even ducked his head into the studio for a second. I think he was surprised to see Keith.
Oh, you don't know this dynamic yet. Wani walks in whenever he gets here. Doesn't care what we're doing, what time it is. It's his studio, and damn it, he's right.
It's his world. He joins us next here on The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.